Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihadi Jaya Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivara Thadi Shashadanandana Raja Jana Ranjana Sharanandana Rajajana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vana Chadi Jamuna Tira Vana Chadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihadi Jaya Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivara Thadi Jashadanandana Raja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vana Chadi Jamuna Tira Vana Chadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihadi Jai Om Vishnuvad Paramahansa Paribraja Kacharja Shtotarajat Shri Shrimad A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai Jai Om Vishnubad Panamansa Paribraja Kacharja Shto Tarasat Shri Shimad Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Nama Charja Shridhar Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sakaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shama Kunradha Kunigiri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadip Dham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Ki Jai Gangamayi Ki Jai Jamanamayi Ki Jai Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees. Gaur Premanande Hari Go. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter 17, Text Number 15. Ataha papiyasim yonim asurim yahi durmate Yateha bhuyo mahatam na karta putra kilbisham atapapiyasim yonim asarim yahi durmate Yateha bhuyo mahatam Nakarta putra kilbisham Atapapiyasim yonim Asurim yahi durmate Yateha bhuyo mahatam Nakarta putra kilbisham Atapapiyasim yonim Asarim yahi durmate Yateha bhuyo mahatam Nakarta putra kilbisham Atapapiyasim yonim Asurim yahi durmate Yateha bhuyo mahatam Nakarta putra kilbisham Atapapi asim yonim Asurim yahi durmate Yateha bhuyo mahatam Naputra kilbisham Atapapi asim yonim Asarim yahi durmate Yateha bhuyo mahatam Nakarta putra kilbisham Atapapi asim yonim Asurim yahi durmate Yateha bhuyo mahatam Nakarta putra kilbisham Ladies Atapapi asim yonim Asurim yahi durmate Yateha bhuyo mahatam Nakarta putra kilbisham Ataha
Therefore, papi asim Most sinful Yonim To the species of life Asarim, demoniac. Yahi, go. Durmate, O impudent one. Yata, so that. Iha, in this world. Bhuyaha, again. Mahatam, to great personalities. Na, not. Karta will commit. Putra, my dear son. Kilbisham, any offense. O impudent one, my dear son, now take birth in a low, sinful family of demons, so that you will not commit such an offense again toward exalted, saintly persons in this world. Purport. One should be very careful not to commit offenses at the lotus feet of Vaishnavas, of whom Lord Shiva is the best. While instructing Srila Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described an offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnav as Hati Mata, a mad elephant. When a mad elephant enters a nice garden, it spoils the entire garden. Similarly, if one becomes like a mad elephant and commits offenses at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, his entire spiritual career is halted. One should therefore be very careful not to commit offenses at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Maiham Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hodi Priye Vansha Kolpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vash Adi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Ata papiyasam yonim asurim yahi durmate yateha Huyo Mahatam Nakarta Putra Kilbisham. Parvati cursed Chitraketu for committing an offense at the lotus feet of the greatest Vaishnav, Lord Shiva. The Shastras everywhere are advising us to seek out the association of great souls, of sadhus. Lavamatra sadhu sange sarva siddhi hoy. By one moment's association with a great soul, one can achieve all perfection. Mahiyasham padrajo bishekam. One should aspire to get the dust of the Vaishnavas on one's head. Without getting the mercy of the Vaishnavas, no one can make any progress. But elsewhere, we learn that the same dust that can give one such rapid advancement can also diminish one's spiritual progress or halt one's spiritual progress. If one offends the lotus feet of the Vaishnava, offends the dust of their lotus feet, then that same dust acts to ruin our spiritual career. The offenses committed to Vaishnavas are corrosive to spiritual progress. Or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives the example that one gets the seed of devotional service from the bona fide spiritual master, one very carefully waters the seed by hearing and chanting, one pulls out the various weeds of offenses. But if one offends the spiritual master or the Vaishnavas, then one has invited a mad elephant into the garden where that plant of devotional service is growing. I don't know how many of you have gotten close to elephants. I was on Padayatra for a year and a half with one elephant who was sometimes a little temperamental. And I can tell you that when an elephant gets temperamental, you don't want to be around. That trunk is all muscle. And if an elephant grabs you by the trunk, she can throw you this way or that way, like a toothpick. She can just throw you. Or if an elephant wants to step on you, all that weight, you're finished. In the Middle East, it was an old method of execution. I think in India also, an old method of execution. In England, you know, they put your head on the block and then they give you the sword. That was the old method. Probably here also. But another method is you put the head on the block and then an elephant steps on you. So then you're like a squashed watermelon. You're finished. So imagine such a powerful elephant gone mad. You know, they carry logs, they carry, you know, they can pull huge weights. But if the elephant goes mad, then just stomping everywhere. Even a person, a human being, if a person goes mad, sometimes you've seen maybe in a film or something that someone goes mad, you need like three or four guys to hold him down because he's just letting that crazy energy out in every direction. So you may be an ordinary person, but three or four people to hold him down. And how many men do you need to hold an elephant down? No number of men can do it. So a mad elephant means it's over. It's finished. Destroyed. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cautioned that offenses to Vaishnavas are the mad elephant offense. Even if one is very advanced in devotional service, he's self-controlled, he's learned, he's got a lot of spiritual credit. If he offends Vaishnavas, his whole spiritual career can be halted. The one example, there's so many examples. Give me an example. I'll give you one, Daksha, a big demigod in charge of so many things, creating living entities, one of the progenitors. And he was finished by offending, again, Lord Shiva. We heard the other day about Ramchandra Khan. Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj was speaking, Ramchandra Khan, how he offended Lord Nityananda, and then everything is Muslims invaded and cooked cows and his Durga Mandap and the whole village was destroyed. But before he did that, he offended Haridas Thakur. So because he was a Vaishnava Apparati, his offenses culminated in that incident. You heard just the finale, the culmination. But before that, he offended Vaishnavas. Therefore, this thing happened to him. That he was ready, after offending the Vaishnavas, and he offended Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or Nityananda Prabhu. There are many other examples. Give me some more. Gopal Chapal, who offended Srivas Thakur. He was envious. They're not letting me in. Why aren't they letting me in? Why are they shutting me out? So he planted some Durga Puja paraphernalia outside of Srivas Thakur's house to try to make him look like he was a hypocrite. And he developed, leprosy, right? He was on the outside of the village and nobody wanted to be near him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed by. Oh, Patita Pavana, please save me. Get lost. I'll not save you. You've offended Srivas Thakur. Then sometime later, he begged forgiveness of Srivas Thakur. But till then, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wasn't interested in helping him. Other examples? Saubhri Muni offended Garuda. And he had his reasons. You know, Garuda is attacking the poor defenseless fish, and the fish are being persecuted, terrorized by Garuda. So then he cursed Garuda, and the result was he fell down. Vaishnava Parad. Another? Ramchandra Puri offended his Guru Maharaj and then became an offender of the Vaishnavas, criticizing, they're eating too much, they're eating so much. And then he became an offender of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Durvasa Muni offended Ambarish Maharaj. Gopal Chakravarti, he offended, again, Haridas Thakur. There was some meeting that the glories of the holy name were being, am I right, being discussed in the home of the uncle and uncles of Raghunath Das Goswami. Then he offended Haridas Thakur, that if what you're saying is not right, may your nose fall off. Then his own nose fell off. Developed leprosy and his nose melted away. Other things happened to him later also. Others? Devananda Pandit. What's the story there? He offended Srivas Thakur again. Suruchi, the stepmother of Dhruva Maharaj, she offended Dhruva Maharaj, and Dhruva Maharaj wasn't even a Vaishnava. He wasn't even a Vaishnava. But he became a Vaishnava. And then she had to suffer the results of Vaishnava Aparad because she insulted a future Vaishnava. Her son died. Yeah, local favorite.
Mr. Nair here in Bombay. And if we're going to be close to home, I could give you so many examples of people who had nice devotional careers and ruined themselves by offending Vaishnavas. So it's very, it's not just an item of academic interest or theoretical interest, but we're being warned again and again against offending Vaishnavas. Against offending Vaishnavas. What are offenses? To bring up the past life of a Vaishnava, the things that he did before, that's an offense. To attack the character of a Vaishnava, that's an offense. To criticize his bodily features, that's an offense. If he has some disease or some that criticize on those grounds, that's an offense. Satam ninda. It's a double offense because it's an offense against the it's Vaishnava parad and it's Nama parad. In the list of 10 offenses, one of the offenses to the holy name is to offend the... Yeah, please turn off your mobile. One of the offenses against the holy name is to offend the Vaishnavas. So you're chanting very nicely 16 rounds, 32 rounds, 64 rounds, chanting. You're leading beautiful kirtan, doing so many things, but you're committing Vaishnava parads. The holy name is offended. Krishna is offended. More offended than if you'd offended him. Better to offend Krishna than to offend the Vaishnavas, because Krishna takes it more seriously. Srila Prabhupada said, a person and the heat of the sun on his head, but it's intolerable the heat of hot sand on his feet. So the Vaishnavas are at the lotus feet of the Lord. To offend the Vaishnavas is intolerable. It's said elsewhere, the Vaishnava may forget the offense, Krishna doesn't. Krishna remembers the offense. So if we're at all serious about steady progress in Krishna consciousness, very carefully we should avoid offenses. People are so reckless that they, by prajalpa, they start talking about Vaishnavas and making fun of Vaishnavas. Then they get on the internet and they start bad-mouthing Vaishnavas. And then they imagine that they still have a spiritual career. They only have the outward appearance of a spiritual career. Inside, they're rotting away, and it's only a question of time before they pop like a bubble. It's said about Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, no, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he wouldn't hear offenses against Vaishnavas. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, that if someone would complain, this, you know, all I know is that all the Vaishnavas are engaged in the service of the Lord. Wouldn't hear it. To sit and listen to Vaishnava parads is also an offense. If the Lord is offended, then if we just sit there and listen, that's also an offense. Similarly, if Vaishnava is defamed, and we just sit there listening, that's also an offense. Mother Parvati was justified in punishing Chitraketu, for Chitraketu impudently criticized the Supreme Father, Mahadev, who is the father of the living entities conditioned within the material world. That's another thing. We don't worship the demigods, but to criticize the demigods is another offense. To make fun of the demigods, it's also an offense. They're great servants of the Lord.
the goddess Durga is called Mother, and Lord Shiva is called Father. A pure Vaishnav should be very careful to engage in his specific duty without criticizing others. That's what's called in common talk, minding one's own business. Minding one's own business. I have my own duty. It's not that Krishna appointed me to criticize everyone else about how they're doing their duty. One should be very careful to engage in his specific duty without criticizing others. This is the safest position. Well, maybe, you know, we're willing to take all risks and criticize Vaishnavas, but that's not advised here. Otherwise, if one tends to criticize others, not Vaishnavas, if one tends to criticize others, he may commit the great offense of criticizing a Vaishnava. The whole mentality of just criticizing is not appreciated here. Adroho nati manita, aversion to fault-finding, is one of the characteristics of the mode of goodness, or the characteristics of a person in knowledge. He's not fault-finding. Because I find fault, this one, finally I find fault in one of the Vaishnavas, and then I'm in trouble. If we have to find fault, better to find fault in ourselves. That will be very good, very healthy. Because Chitraketu was undoubtedly a Vaishnav, he might have been surprised that Parvati had cursed him. Therefore, the goddess Parvati addressed him as Putra, or son. Everyone is the son of Mother Durga, but she is not an ordinary mother. As soon as there is a small discrepancy in a demon's behavior, Mother Durga immediately punishes the demon so that he may come to his senses. This is explained by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, Daivihi esha gunamayi mama maya durachaya mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who've surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. To surrender to Krishna means to surrender to his devotees also. For no one can be a proper servant of Krishna unless he is a proper servant of a devotee. Charya Vaishnava Seva Nishtar Payechekeva. Without serving a servant of Krishna, one cannot be elevated to being a servant of Krishna himself. Therefore, Mother Parvati spoke to Chitraketu exactly like a mother who says to her naughty child, "My dear child, I am punishing you so that you won't do anything like this again." This tendency of a mother to punish her child is found even in Mother Yashoda, who became the mother of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mother Yashoda punished Krishna by binding him and showing him a stick. Thus, it is the duty of a mother to chastise her beloved son, even in the case of the Supreme Lord. It is to be understood that Mother Durga was justified in punishing Chitraketu. This punishment was a boon to Chitraketu, because after taking birth as the demon Vritrasura, he was promoted directly to Vaikuntha. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Microphone.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, sometimes people say that calling spade a spade it's like if the someone is wrong, then what is the problem in telling wrong? And on that basis, they criticize.
Yeah, you can call a spade, but tell it to the judge. You know, there's, it's an expression in English, tell it to the judge. You give some excuse, tell it to the judge. You know, the policeman arrests you and said, but officer, but officer, tell it to the judge. So I'm just calling a spade, tell it to the judge. You explained to Krishna that when you offended a Vaishnava, you were just calling a spade. Also, you have to consider your position. The spiritual master can criticize the disciple up and down. You have a cow dung for brains. You'll be intelligent in 100 years. You're a fool. You're a rascal. What's the use of you? In so many ways, the spiritual master can totally criticize. You're useless. Now, if this disciple thinks he can also criticize the spiritual master, you're a fool, you're a rascal, you'll be 100 in 100 years. No. It's the prescribed duty of the spiritual master to criticize the disciple. It's the prescribed duty of the father to criticize the son. It's not the duty of the son to criticize the father. Therefore, Parvati cursed Chitraketu. You're criticizing your father. You're a rascal. You don't have the right. You don't have the right. It's just ordinary etiquette that the son doesn't have the right to criticize the father, the disciple doesn't have the right to criticize the spiritual master, the junior doesn't have the right to criticize the senior. You go into sophisticated company and start criticizing seniors, you'll be, you know, you have your ears beaten, or you'll be thrown out, or you'll just be regarded as an uncouth, uncultured ruffian. Ishubi pratiyotyami pujarha varisudha. How can I oppose Bhishma and Drona? I should be worshipping them because they're my superiors. That's culture. That's culture. And he may be a fool, but he's an old man. I have to respect him. Just ordinary culture. Forget Krishna consciousness, Vaishnavism, all that. It's just ordinary culture that when someone is in the superior position, we don't have the right to open our mouth. And what to speak of superior Vaishnavas when Ramchandra Puri was criticizing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the Vaishnavas were distraught. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't say anything. Why not? Kaviraj Goswami says, Guru Budhva. Ramchandra Puri was the godbrother of his guru, so he thought, he's on the level of my guru. So he just took it. And even, all right, I'm eating too much. He cut his eating in half. And then again in half. But he didn't counter-criticize. Oh yeah? Well, let me tell you what I think of you. That That's our impulse. Someone criticizes us, we think, what can I say about him? But we have to consider, when, is it my prescribed duty? One should be so careful to avoid Vaishnava Paramas. Something else.
Hare Krishna. So in 11th canto, Uddhav ji asked the same question to Lord Krishna. So Uddhav asked the same question to Lord Krishna. So Lord Krishna answered that observing bad and good qualities of others always itself is a bad quality. Observing bad and good qualities of others itself is a bad quality.
Krishna told Uddhava, you consider the good and bad qualities of others? You may, but if you consider the bad qualities of the Vaishnavas, that's your bad quality. There was one time I heard this from Harikesh. He was serving as Srila Prabhupada's secretary, and Prabhupada had strong disagreements with his godbrothers. His godbrothers, some of them, were criticizing him, finding fault with him, not appreciating his accomplishments, acting enviously toward him. And so one time, Harikesh said to Srila Prabhupada, how could Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur have a disciple, and he's talking about someone in particular, who is such a rascal, one of Prabhupada's chief opponents. How could Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur have a disciple who is such a rascal? And Prabhupada turned toward him and blasted him. You have said the wrong thing. My Guru Maharaj never had any disciples who were rascals. I may call him a rascal. You can't. Okay. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Trinadapi Sunichena. Thinking oneself lower than does the straw in the street get up and say, hey, who do you guys think you are walking all over me? Turorapi Sahishna tolerates. That's the extraordinary characteristic of Vaishnavas. They're so humble. They're so tolerant. Not that they're expert in insulting others. That's described in the Bhagavad Gita. Karta tamasa uchate. What is that? Someone help me, where is that? Maybe it's in 18th chapter? Yeah. Ayukta prakrita stabta shato naiskritiko lishaha. One of the characteristics of the worker in the mode of ignorance is that he's expert. What is he expert in? Insulting others. He's expert in insulting others. That's the characteristic of the person acting in the mode of ignorance. And the characteristic of the Vaishnava is that he's humbler than the grass. Not the same. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, we talked about Ramchandra Khan. Nityanand Prabhu left his home. But in case of Jagai Madhai, Nityanand Prabhu still stayed back to give them mercy. What is the difference between both the stories?
Why did Nityananda Prabhu give mercy to Jagai Madhai and not give mercy to Ramchandra Khan? Of course, he's merciful, whatever he does.
Yeah.
But why did he curse Ramchandra Khan and bless Jagai Madhai? Because he's independent. He can do what he likes. You can't say, well, you're being inconsistent. If you did this here, you have to do that there. He does what he likes.
Hare Krishna. Though we are devotees, we are still conditioned souls. So in the course of our interaction with devotees while performing seva, one common thing we notice is that we enter into argument with the other devotee. Mm. One devotee accusing another devotee. In such cases, how to make out who has offended whom? Both are...
Two devotees and they're in an argument, and how to make out who's offending whom. Better not to make out who's offending whom. It's elsewhere it's mentioned that when Vaishnavas are having some disagreement, stay out of it. Why do you want to get implicated in that and start making judgments? He's good, he's not good. Better to stay out of it. And hope that they'll settle their differences. Generally, Vaishnavas, when they, you know, they'll argue and then later they'll, I'm sorry, Prabhu. Or any gentleman, an argument there maybe gets heated, but then later, I'm sorry. But now if we get in the middle of it, good luck to us.
Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna. Sometimes while serving devotees, we may do some mistakes, which may not be intentionally, or but then we find that next devotee is upset. So is that comes to Vaishnava Aparadha, or what is the difference between such unintentional mistakes and...
Well, Vaishnava? Unintentional mistakes, the difference is that it's unintentional. Of course, sometimes we're thinking, no, I'm not committing an offense, I'm just calling a spade a spade. But one's humble attitude will help one. Later the person will see, all right, anyway, I was angry at him, but he's a humble fellow. But if you're impudent, Parvati criticized Chitraketu, you're impudent. It's hard to have sympathy for someone who's impudent. But a person who's humble, you see, oh, he made a mistake, but he regretted it, or he's a simple person. But a person who's impudent, I didn't make any mistakes, I know what I'm doing, you're the fool, not me. In one book of the Bible, it said that the person that the fool is such a fool that he doesn't even know his way to town. And he announces to everyone else that he's a fool. So it's interpreted two ways. One way it's interpreted that you can just look at him and you can understand that he's a fool by the way that he's acting. So he announces to everyone, I'm a fool. The other way he's taken is he announces to everyone that he's a fool. That means he calls everyone else a fool. Because he's a fool. The fool thinks everyone else is foolish. Atmavan manyate jagat. Yes.
Maharaj, Hare Krishna. Can I ask one more question?
Can you ask some more? Give it a try and see what happens.
Maharaj, sometimes some devotees are so sensitive that they are easily offended over small matters. So, how to take care of them?
Some devotees are easily offended over small matters, therefore be careful. The Durvasa Muni came, then the Pandavas knew that we better be really good because Durvasa is easily angered. You know somebody's touchy, then you know you have to be extra careful. It's good practice for us. Some people are very, you know, they'll just accept anything, and that happened in the experience of ISKCON. They offended two very senior devotees, and one of the devotees just sort of took it and tolerated, and the other devotee just got angry and retaliated. Not everyone's built the same. Not that every Vaishnava will just say, in time they'll understand. Some may become angry and retaliate. Yes? Hold on a second, we're going to give you a microphone.
Maharaj, does the fact that one devotee tolerates the insult and the other doesn't have any bearing on the consequences?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Does the fact that one devotee tolerated and the other didn't have any bearing on the consequences? Just in our practical experience, the devotee tolerates, then you get sort of, all right, things go on. But if the devotee retaliates, you can really get, you know, they can retaliate strongly. You know, it's like you pick a fight with a pussycat, it's one thing. You pick a fight with a lion, and it's another thing. And devotees think they're teasing a pussycat, and then they suddenly find out that there's the lion's claws at them.
What I meant to say is that one might hearing this devotee's question and your answer, someone might think that, okay, well, I'll offend this person, but he takes things very smoothly, so it's not very important.
Yeah,
I don't have
Krishna
to be so careful.
That's the other side, that we think that he didn't retaliate, he just took it, or you think, well, I guess it wasn't really an offense because he didn't say anything. And then your spiritual life, what's the word? Dries up. Your fire goes out, and then you realize too late that you offended a great soul. There's serious consequences. Krishna takes it seriously. He doesn't think, well, he wasn't offended, I guess it wasn't a big deal. Krishna takes it seriously. Yes, Maji.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Please accept the Maham obeisance. And once I heard some devotees told me that if you offend a Vaisnava, even the Vaisnava can forgive you, but the deaths of the Vaisnava cannot forgive you. So how to understand it?
You heard that the Vaishnav may forgive you, but the dust of the feet of the Vaishnav may forgive you,
yeah.
May not forgive you. Therefore, we should be very careful about offending the Vaishnavas.
Yeah. How to understand that?
That Krishna, the Vaishnav may say, all right, it wasn't anything. But Krishna may not dismiss it so easily. Just like you tease my son. So the son, he just kind of brushes it off. But I may not brush it off. Like that. Krishna himself may take it more seriously than the devotees takes it. The devotee is by nature tolerant, and so on. Of course, we should try to get the forgiveness of the Vaishnava. If we offend the Vaishnava, we say, well, you know, even if he forgives me, the dust won't forgive me, so why? No. We should pray for the Vaishnava's forgiveness and hope that Krishna will also excuse our offenses. It's said in first canto that the fire of... No. That offenses are burned up in the fire of sincere repentance. That Parikshit Maharaj offended a great soul, but then he immediately regretted, I've offended a muni, a great sage. So how abominable I am. So in that way, not that, well, anyway, you know, he had it coming, and I was just calling a spade, and it shows, since he got angry, it shows he's not a Vaishnav. No. If we offend Vaishnavas and realize, oh, I offend, then we should be very repentant.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I'm just thinking time. I don't want to hold you too long. Last question.
हरे कृष्ण महाराज.
हरे कृष्ण
महाराज. आप बोले हमें, हम यदि वैष्णव का अपराध करते हैं तो हमारा सारा आध्यात्मिक प्रगति रुक जाता है, और भगवान का हम अपराध करते हैं तो भगवान माफ कर देते हैं. ऐसा कैसे?
क्या बोलता? If we offend the Vaishnava, our bhakti dries up.
And if you offend Krishna, so Krishna forgives.
If we offend Krishna, Krishna forgives. He may forgive. It's not that all you just go on offending and Krishna forgives everything. Save aparads, Vaishnava aparads, Nam aparads. You just go on committing aparads and just watch out for Vaishnava aparads. But all the rest of them are okay. Krishna will forgive you. No. We should therefore always be humble and meek. One prayer is there when you finish your puja. If I've committed any mistakes, even an ordinary host, you visit someone's home and they receive you very nicely, they give you nice food, they give you a nice welcome, maybe they give you a donation. Then at the end, when you're leaving, what do they say? If I committed any offense, please forgive me. Right? If there was any discrepancy, something, please forgive me. That's not even Vaishnav. That's just cultured person. Do you have that experience? Yeah. The cultured people, after receiving you so nicely, at the end, if I committed any offense, please forgive me. Well, I said that that was going to be the last question. So now if I take more questions, maybe I'm offending those who need to go. So we'll stop here. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Samaveta Bhakta Vrindaki Jai Gaur Premanande. Thank you.